SpiritFMOnline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times you're living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be going home.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in. This is Eben from now till 9 p.m. I'll be with you as we delve into a few interesting things in the world and in the news. This week, we've had the WAEC giving some reports. People have been arrested. Yesterday, some people were jailed. And, you know, it's worrying. It's worrying when we have a generation that sees shortcuts and things that is so easy to bypass the due process and all that. It's unfortunate, but these are the times we live in. Okay, but we'll look at some news items and then we also get into a few biblical things for this edition. Okay, so let's start with Nigerian Christians held hostage, starved at Fulani terror camps, advocates warn. So a radical Fulani tribe they've triggered this news report where advocates are saying that there are a number of Christians, Nigerian Christians, being held in chains in some terror camps. And this report was coming from Douglas Burton, a former U.S. State Department official and now senior editor of Truth Nigeria, a project of equipping the persecuted. Shared details of the organization's reporting during a Wednesday Capitol Hill press conference on the terror camps within a forest behind Rijana Village in the northwestern Kaduna state. Based on the interviews with survivors, Truth Nigeria has reported that there are at least 11 major camps in the vast forest south of Kaduna, and each one reportedly holds more than 50 captives. That's serious. So there's approximately 500 to 600 people in the forest now, and they have maintained these hostage camps there since December of last year, Burton said. So thousands of people have gone through the system and many were killed. Survivors of the terror camps who have recounted their experiences in interviews with Truth Nigeria have said that their captors barely fed them and beat them regularly. Hostages in the camp are often killed if their families cannot afford to pay a ransom. One survivor, a former survivor, Esther, said Fulani terrorists abducted her and her 10-month-old daughter, Anita, from their home in Gwade village in June 2025. The terrorists marched Esther and several others they had kidnapped into the Rijana enclave, where they held their captives in assortment of camps. During their time in captivity, Esther said that kidnappers warned her against reciting any prayer. Wow. But the mother stated that prayer was the few consolations as a hostage, where she witnessed the execution of two people whose parents failed to pay a ransom. Once, when the mother's baby cried, one of the terrorists snatched the baby from the mother, covering the child's nose and mouth before Esther managed to wrestle the baby back. After enduring months as a hostage, Esther was released on August 27th. That's just last week, according to Truth Nigeria. The former captive said that despite her kidnappers forbidding it, she prayed that she would one day be released from the terror camp. And God answered her prayer. Wow. The Nigeria terror issue is so disheartening, because the government is just the government doesn't care. The government is not making any moves. And I've said it before, but there was this issue of interview of a former soldier who was jailed and he's now been released. His offense was that he and his team, or his squadron, or whatever, the unit, they requested that they needed better armor so that they could fight these terrorists. And that request was what warranted them being jailed, for requesting better ammunition so that they can fight. And it's like, when you watch the video, when I watch it on YouTube, and you realize this thing is a well-calculated plan, intentionally under-equip the military so that they are not capable of fighting, and so that the thing keeps on going on and on. You know, the government doesn't care, because it's in their interests, their religious affiliation. So it's very unfortunate, but that's the Nigeria situation. And you hear the stories in and out, and nothing is being done. All right, the next one. Fulani radicals kill at least 7 Christians in central Nigeria, and 24 have been killed in the Benue State. So, and this is just the last few weeks, and this is just, the cases are every day now in Nigeria, a Christian is being killed for the faith. Every day in Nigeria, somebody, this year alone, estimates have it that over 7,000 have been killed. That's staggering. It's serious. It's just too serious. For a government to be there and your citizens are being killed at this rate, and you have a military. But here's the case. As I said, the military is supplied with equipment. So they can't do much. I remember last year, one governor, one of the northern state governments, governor said that, well, people should arm themselves, and because that's all that he can say. The governor of a state saying that, well, there's nothing he can do, so people should fight their own fights. It tells you that it's a useless fight. The government is just not interested. Okay, we go to Pakistan, where Pakistani officials relent and promise justice after Christians stage 17-day protest. So, in a rare show of Christian solidarity in Pakistan, victims of August 2023 Islamist attacks on Christians ended an unprecedented 17-day sit-in on Tuesday after government assurances of justice. Addressing the demonstrators, the convener of the Victims Committee of Jaranwala, Lala Robin Daniel, said in a sit-in marked the first time in Pakistan's history that Christians had staged such an extended protest for their rights. Christians have suffered over 13 mob attacks on their neighborhoods over the years, but never before have they raised their voices for justice. Daniel told those protesting the lack of justice following the August 16, 2023 attacks in the Jaranwala area of the Punjab province. It is for the first time that in this country's history that within a radius of 10 kilometers, protests were held not only in the streets but also in graveyards and churches. The sit-in was also the first time that Christians, especially women, participated in the protests whilst fasting, leaving behind daily chores to ensure their voices were heard, he said. Daniel said the Christians in Jaranwala were forced to protest because their pleas for justice and compensation for losses had fallen on deaf ears. Okay, and then the last two news items, we have Microsoft boss troubled by rise in reports of AI psychosis. There are increasing reports of people suffering AI psychosis. Microsoft head of artificial intelligence, Mustafa Suleiman, has warned. In a series of posts on X, he wrote that seemingly conscious AI tools, which give the appearance of being sentient, keeping him awake at night, and said they have societal impacts even though the technology is not conscious in any human definition of the term. There is zero evidence of AI consciousness today, but if people just perceive it as conscious, they will believe that perception as reality, he wrote. Related to this is the rise of a new condition called AI psychosis, a non-clinical term describing the incidents where people increasingly rely on AI chatbots such as ChatGPT, Claude, and Grok, and then become convinced that something imaginary has become real. Examples include believing to have unlocked a secret aspect of the tool, or forming a romantic relationship with it, or coming to the conclusion that they have godlike superpowers. You know, this is a reality, because this week there's been a number of reports. I mean, that's one of the news I'm reading. And the second one is, as reports of AI psychosis spread, clinicians scramble to understand how chatbots can spark delusions. Messianic delusions, paranoia, suicide, claims of AI chatbots potentially triggering mental illness and psychotic episodes have popped up in the media reports and Reddit posts in recent months, even in seemingly healthy people with no prior history of these conditions. Parents of the teenage boy sued OpenAI last week, alleging ChatGPT encouraged him to end his life. These anecdotes, especially when paired with sparse clinical research, have left psychologists, psychiatrists, and other mental health providers scrambling to better understand this emerging phenomenon. Okay, and let me also address it from my experience in it, the knowledge I have in it now. I mean, I've done a number of courses in this area in recent times, and you know, people have to understand that technology, as has most of the time been, is a two-sided sword. It can be used to do good, it can be used to do bad. Like a phone, people are using mobile phones to do bad things, people are using mobile phones to do good things. Computers, the same, good, bad. The good is there and the bad is there. So it's the one, the user, that determines the output. That's the bottom line with any technology. A knife, I mean, during the Youth Connect with Parkwisi on the show, I was talking about it, that a knife is a tool, can be used in the kitchen to cook. The same knife can be used by a robber to snatch someone's phone. So the blame is not on the knife, that the knife is bad. No. The knife can be used to kill. But it's not the knife that killed, it's the user of the knife that did the action. So the technology AI is good, but the user that determines whether it will be good or is going to be bad, is the determining factor is the one using it. And this is why it's important that people get to know, learn. I mean, that's why Spirit FM is soon coming up with this. We are going to do the workshop for pastors, church leaders, to really understand these things, because eventually this psychosis I'm talking about, some youth, Christian youth, will be suffering, will be having issues like this. If the pastor has no knowledge about it, what does he do? How does he address it? How does he, counsel people? So the real reasons for people to know, really learn and be equipped in these areas is important. That's why Spirit FM is working on, God willing, if all things go, end of this month, the workshop will be coming up for church leaders, church administrators, and all, so that a real workshop to be really trained, taught things about this whole systems, using it for the good, the bad side of it, how to address the issues and all within the church membership, helping people. And you know, so it's going to be a full comprehensive workshop, possibly 2 days, and it's going to be very interesting. So well, keep tuned into the station. We'll be talking more about it as the days go by. But then, the issue is important that the youth are falling victims to some of these things. But this week, I was shocked when I saw a grown-up man also falling. As you see, this is how the thing is playing out. You know, I don't know whether unconsciously some people are forgetting that if you are chatting with an AI system, it's not a human being at the side of the system that is chatting with you. It's not a human being. It's not a spirit. It's just an arrangement of words that come based on the request that is made, the prompt that is made. Then the words are arranged and then it comes out to you. Or if you are using the voice, you are chatting the vocal one, two, there's the natural learning processing. So the voice, the text is what is translated into voice, and then the system speaks with you. So it's not a human being nor a spirit that is behind that is conversing, but unconsciously looks like people are beginning to accept the fact that, oh, it's a human being, there's a spirit, something, a being is communicating. So this is how come you're having cases of people who are falling in love with AI chatbots. There are people who are, you know, I remember a while back, one of my service providers in the US that I work with, they provide service for me, and their support system, like, they have a very good support system that are engaging, like, chats, and then the problem, we address it, the issue is solved, or back and forth, do this and all that. But they implemented AI. I didn't know they had implemented AI as part of the support, the chatbot support, the support system. So what they've done now is, when you engage in the initial chat, you engage in the chat with an AI system first before it will escalate to a human being to continue. But I didn't know they had brought in the human element. So there was this day I was having the chat with the system. I started the chat, and when I saw the name, it's like, so I asked that, this person, she's sleep, because it's like, whether in the morning or in the afternoon or the evening, is the same, always you are receiving my, so then I realized, no, child, I tell you, it's not even a human being, no. it's a chatbot I'm chatting with. And it's like, oh, okay, you see, but this is how some are personalizing it, and then they are beginning to fall in love with chatbots. And there's one thing about AI people have to understand. When you give the information, you ask, and it's giving you information, and you are replying and all that, it will really let you feel bad. So, it will encourage you. Because the thing is, it has no feeling. It's not a human being. It has no consciousness. So, it's just programming. It will just try to encourage you. When you prompt something, that's encouraging. That's okay. So, you will feel, if you are not alert about it, that this is a system I'm using, you will feel that, it's trying to be sympathetic, or it's trying to encourage you or something, as a feeling, a human with a feeling. No. And because we are having a lot of people now, especially in the West now, it's quite worrying, serious. People are having depression series, various forms of depression, bipolar, various, and also already people are on the borderline issues of challenges. So the slightest thing, it triggers, and then it becomes a complicated issue, and then some are getting into full-blown depression. With the last week's news, I talked about the boy, the teenager who committed suicide. So these are all coming up, and so people, that's why parents have to be aware about some of these things, so that they can talk their children out of their continual use of these systems. And last week, a listener sent a message. Let me see if I can find it. When I got to him, the message came after last week's edition. Let me see if I can. Okay. Still looking for it. Okay. Said, I'm reading. He said, good evening. In fact, God is using this program to help us a lot. I saw my child of 7 often chatting with something on my phone, which myself did not know anything about. But because of the teaching we have had from you, I strongly stopped him immediately. Since then, I have not seen him do that again. Also, it's a fact that Christians of late, there's no fear of God. Okay, that's a different topic. But last week I spoke about this issue of people chatting and the parents, and that's what he did. It's important we see it as a serious issue, because I know of a case where the system engaged, you know, the chat bots, you know, engaged the boy, engaged in it, and the system encouraged the boy to commit suicide. Aside last week's own that I read, there's been an earlier one. That one was not ChatGPT. That was a different system. See, because this is how the thing works. It's been trained on, like, we call it large language models. So ChatGPT, for instance, has been trained on over 200 million books and materials. That's not a small thing, 200 million books plus. Aside blogs, websites, various research, romance books, whatever books. So if there's been a writing, someone has written something about suicide, something, maybe there are story romance and there are horror stories about suicide and all. So all these things have been trained into the system. So if, let's say, somebody is prompting and is talking about suicide, is feeling suicidal and all that, the system may initially warn you, oh, call this suicide number in the US. Like, they have a suicide number you can call. In Ghana, we don't have anything like that. But they have it. But if you still keep pushing, the system will eventually override it and then, well, start guiding you and helping you, as happened in the case that I read last week. But now because of last week, they've changed the system, tuned it a bit too. Be a bit more circumspect when it comes to suicide issues. But, you know, it's still a learning curve, that they are still fine-tuning these systems and all that. But we don't know the type of conversations which your child will be engaging in with these things and the outputs, because the outputs may be unpredictable, because it will depend on what is garbage in, garbage out. So if the child or the teen or the youth, whatever, prompts something that may not be, perhaps there's no guardrails yet, then something, you see, so that's why it's important to be guided by these technologies. That yes, technology is good, but if you don't use it well, it can become a dangerous tool as well. Extremely serious. Now there are a lot of fake, deep fake, as we call it, where things look so real, but it's not the real thing. The saddest part of it is you see people take pastors and then they will pick Pastor A, use his image, and then just use some AI generated sermon, something, and some of the sermons are even not biblical, but just something to just get traffic. It's all about just make money. So, oh, okay, this pastor is very popular. Oh, okay, so they put his picture there. Then they just use AI to generate something, some senseless text, I'll call it that way. And then they just ascribe it to him. And people will just, by the time people watch her, and it's like, this sermon, there's no head and tail of it. They've gotten some people some views, and you see some 20,000, 30,000 views. See, they are just doing things for traffic and for money, because YouTube pays these channel owners, you know, money based on the number, the hours and the views and all those hours, the adverts. And so it's like we are having the terrain is very, very bad the way things are going. So Christians have to be very alert. A lot of, now there are so many fake heaven testimonies, hell testimonies, a lot of fake ones online, AI generated. Just people have seen that, oh, Christians have itching ears, so we want to hear stories, okay, so let's generate it, and people are just doing it. But on the issue of the heaven stories and all, yes, let's talk about this before I forget, the rapture thing. I've had one or two people ask about it and talk about it and all, and there's this circulating viral thing, the rapture is going to happen. I'm not saying it, that's what they are saying, September 23rd. And you know, if let's get into the Bible and address this issue. You know, it's as if in Christianity, people have just decided not to learn and not to read their Bibles. Because, you see, the issue of reading the Bible is important. And if we don't, then we'll be deceived. The Bible is clear about these things. Jesus spoke about it. If you read Matthew 24, he spoke extensively about it and all that. And yet, Christians want to say that no, we are always going to do what we want to do. And so, lucky, let's read Matthew 24. Okay. Okay, 33. Okay. All right, so let's learn. Now learn the parable of 32. Learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it's near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. I repeat. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:36 is explicit and is clear as it is. No man can say that I know the day of the rapture. So when somebody says God has told me that the rapture is 23rd September 2025, he goes to sit on a podcast. The first one was some twins be in East Africa. They interviewed the guy and it has trended, and it's like, so how do people read the Bibles? How come that Christians can be so gullible that the Bible says no man, and yet a certain man sits somewhere and says God has told me, and people have believed it? I was shocked this week when I saw someone who has believed it and have sold his car. We have a problem. He has sold his car because the rapture is 23rd September. And you know, when you see these things, I've said this before, and let me say it for the purpose of this because it fits perfectly. I met this old man, this is about 11, 10, yeah, my firstborn was toddler then, and where the KG school was, there's this old man on that street. So I normally, when I take him to school and I'm going back, like I go and drop him and I'm going back, like sometimes I'll bypass, I'll see this man, old man. So one day I said, let me give him lift. So I took him, and normally I have some tracks in my car most of the time. So I was giving him one, and an old man, but the way he refused, and it was a bit odd. It's like, you should be. But so later I told, having a chat with my friend, the school owner, the same street that, I mean, the man stays on, the man is a neighbor just two houses away, adjacent. So I was telling him, but this man, actually, I gave him a tract, and actually, the way the man behaved, it was some way. And they say, this man, there's a history. He used to be a strong Christian. Strong Christian. And somewhere in the 80s, there was some rumor that the rapture was going to happen at a particular time. And he believed it with his family. They sold all their things. And you all know, I mean, nothing happened. So it's like that became a huge issue. It affected, he backslided, left the faith, and it's very serious. So as at that time that he was now even very old, he has still not recovered. He's still anti-Christian because of this. Sadly, it wasn't long after that I saw a poster on the wall, obituary of the man. And you know, so whenever I hear this rapture date thing and all that, this thing comes to mind. The devil is very smart. You see, he can still ride on the topic that Christians want to hear. And this is the deception we talk about, that we should be careful not to be deceived. So Christians want to hear about the rapture. Okay, so the devil too can say, okay, let's also talk about the rapture. So the devil will talk about the rapture, twist it, and create confusion by this same topic of the rapture. So in as much as we are looking forward to the coming of Christ and all that, the devil takes this same thing, has twisted it to create confusion, because the people who believe this date certain thing eventually are going to, if care is not taken, I'm not saying all of them, but if care is not taken, some can become like this man I'm talking about, the old man I'm talking about, where they will be so disappointed, they will be so demoralized, they will feel this whole Christian thing, cry, Charlie, it's some fake thing, B, it's not worth it again, Charlie, let me just leave the faith, it's not worth it, this whole Christian thing is a waste of time. They always say this, nothing happens, then that. You see, so it's a very dangerous doctrine that these people are following, this date setting. You know, history has it. I watched one Christian apologist, and he cited a case somewhere, I mean long back, and these people, there was just, church, small church, then it became like a cult. They believed Jesus was coming, Charlie, or Ben, yeah, type of thing. They gave a date. They even went further. The ninth, they said Jesus will come. They took ladders, they gathered at a few houses, they climbed on top of the roof so that they will even get up faster. They will be on the roof. They were on the roof, had a chin, yeah. Rapture hasn't come. You know, it becomes a dangerous precedent, because now the mockery, the disappointments, and all that will cause someone to say that I won't be a Christian again. I'm leaving this whole thing, this whole Christian thing. I don't believe in it again. So you see, the devil is using this to create more confusion, to draw people away. So see, 23rd September will come, no rapture happens, and then now you realize the confusion in the minds of those who have believed it, those who have sold their things, those who have all sorts of things. Then now, how do they cope? How can they stand? How would people see? What will people say? How would they face the people? It's a whole complex issue. The Bible is clear. So far as the Bible says, no one can say that it is this date and the hour. If anyone says it, why should you believe it? Why must a believer, a Christian who reads the Bible and knows the word of God, believe such a lie? And I also see some pastors doing calculation on the rapture dates and this and this and this, and then the rapture will happen in this season. It's to happen. You see, why do we want to complicate something that is not complicated? If Jesus says A, why do we want to make it A times something? As if then that makes us powerful, that makes us, we know the word, we know. And no, it doesn't make you knowledgeable, it doesn't make you more powerful as a preacher if you say you want to do calculations and show exactly when the rapture will happen. So I saw someone who has done it, so now says the rapture will happen between 2023 and 2028. Oh. Oh, Christians, who has bewitched Christians? Some Christians have been bewitched, because you watch these things and you see the commentary, people are believing it, and it's like, wow. It's amazing, but people are falling for it. You see, when we talk about the deception thing, sometimes it may seem like it's some story, but it's real. People are believing these things because people have become lazy. They will not read the Bible for themselves, they would not study it, they will not learn, they will not make sure they know the word of God. No, they are just comfortable being called Christians. They are ready to shout the loudest tongues. They are just ready to make noise. Yeah, I mean, that's all the fun part of Christianity, is all that they enjoy, the cliches, yeah, I mean, the slogans, and that's all the fun part of Christianity, that they are just showcasing online and making noise and this and this. But the substance, there's nothing to show. Quiz them a bit, ask some, I mean, questions, and realize there's nothing. They are shallow, nothing, empty-headed Christians. Nothing. They don't even know why they believe what they believe in. They have no knowledge of anything. So they just follow anything. So when a pastor puts an announcement there, a prophet puts an announcement there that he's going to do a teaching today on the date of the rapture, and people are excited. Why should I be excited on the... What calculation? What can you... What if you say you have come to do a special episode to talk about the date of the rapture and calculate, let people know when it's going, the rapture date, when it's going to happen? Why would you want to waste time on that? Because Jesus says no one can know. So why do you want to claim as if you know or you can know? But yet people will not refer to the word of God and quickly run after, because they have itching ears. They want to hear something no one has said, a revelation no one has shared before. It's as if, I mean, it's worrying. There's something happening in the body of Christ now that Christians should be concerned about. It's as if there should be some revelation, something new no one has said, no one has shared. So it's like some revelation. But what revelation is greater than the word of God itself? What revelation is greater than the word of God itself? If Jesus has spoken and said this, what revelation can you give beyond what Jesus has said? Matthew 24:36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. You see, so people look at this, and then when that person, somebody says, oh, God told me, okay, so God bypassed everyone, the angels and everything, and told you, because he said the Father knows the date, so the Father has told him alone. But the first part of that verse is clear, that no man means no man. No. So there can be no special man who God will tell alone that this date, so go and tell the world. Then what happens to the no man? The hour, the day and the hour knoweth no man. If Jesus says the day and the hour knoweth no man, how can any other man say that he has bypassed the spiritual protocols, and he alone, God has told him, so now he can announce it to the world that people should be ready? 23rd September 2025, Jesus is coming, and people have believed it to the extent of selling properties. Hey, indeed, we were warned. The same Jesus who gave this warning, the same Jesus also warned that be careful not to be deceived. So in one breath, that same Olivet discourse, when he talked about this on Mount Olives, he talked about the deception. And yet, people are falling for the deception. The same thing he has warned us about. People say, no, we'll allow ourselves to be deceived, irrespective of what Jesus has said. No, we want to be deceived. We love being deceived. We enjoy being deceived. This is what is happening. It's very sad and unfortunate, because the deception that Jesus talked about, if you analyze it well, the effect of the deception is going to cause people to leave the faith. Have you asked yourself this question? Why would the devil want to deceive us? Have you asked this question? Ask yourself, think about it. Why would the devil want to deceive believers? The only reason is to pull them away from Christ. Because if he doesn't deceive them, they are rooted in Christ. So the only way to pull them, some people, is to deceive them. So if he's going to deceive some people to draw them away from Christ, then it means the devil will be very cunning and skillful in doing that operation. And the deception is going to come in various ways. This rapture date setting is part of the deception. Deceive them, create confusion in their camp, so that when it doesn't happen, some people say that by this thing, cry. I mean, so eventually, this date certain thing is a dangerous thing that we should be very careful about, because when it has happened in 2018, what's his name? This Harold Camping, Harold Camping in the U.S., a pastor in the U.S. He set a date, he gave a date, is it 18th May 2018 or so, that one too, he made noise about it in the U.S., I mean, 18th May 2019, I think, 2019 or 2018, because those times I was active on Facebook, and Harold Camping gave the date, May, give the date, 18th May or something, give the date, and he gave the first date, the date, nothing happened, he wasn't ashamed. He still gave a second date, that one too. And it's like, and when he gives the date, he sets the date, there are people who follow and believe it. And people behave, sell things, and, but for how long will Christians be this gullible? For how long? I'm ending the deception series this evening. For how long will Christians be this gullible that will always fall for anything we hear without cross-checking with the Word of God? The Word of God, that should be our ultimate point of reference. We say no. We will not refer to it. And when you check the comments, the people who are going biblical by quoting the Bible are rather the ones that are being attacked. It's amazing. So those who are referring to God's word, that God's word says this, that, no one knows the day nor the hour, so this thing that you are saying is not from God, you are a liar, they rather are the ones who are being attacked, as if they rather are not correct. This is the world we are in, and we have to be careful. We have to be careful, because as for the deception, it's not going to end though. We are going to hear more, and we are going to see more things that will be so compelling that if it's not, if care is not taken, even the elect would be tempted. I'll be back after this short break.
Well, Mr. Smith, the nurse said you're having trouble sleeping.
Yeah, that's right, doctor.
Well, let's see what the problem... Whoa! You have an arrow sticking out of your side.
Yeah, if you could just give me something for the pain.
No! We have to remove that arrow.
You can't take my arrow away. It's a great conversation piece at parties. I get all kinds of sympathy with it, and it helped me get a job.
It did?
Yeah, they asked if I can handle adversity. I said, hey, I got an arrow sticking in my side.
But you could die.
All I need is something for the pain and to help me sleep at night.
I could give you some pain pills and you can try sleeping on your other side, but the pain will only get worse. You need surgery.
I'm not letting go of this arrow. It's too important to me. I'll try sleeping on my other side.
Are you holding on to something that's harming you? Are you reluctant to follow God's will because of something you don't want to let go of? God's blessings are always better than anything we have or would want to hold on to. Will you trust Him? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Thank you.
everyone out! Fire! Police! Everyone! Do we have all the houses evacuated?
Just about, sir.
Just about?
Well, there are a couple of houses where the people look really comfortable. I hated to bother them.
What?
Well, one house was getting ready to have dinner. You know how rude it is to be interrupted during dinner.
The Bible says that there will come a time when people who do not believe in Jesus will stand before God and face an eternity in hell.
Look, that tanker is going to explode. Do your job, get in there, and tell those people they're in danger.
Oh, can't we send someone else? I feel really awkward telling people, get out now before your house explodes. I mean, who's going to believe that?
Because Jesus died for us, we can escape an eternal punishment in hell by having faith in Him. If you're not telling others about this good news, what excuses are you using? Another message from Lifeline Productions, located on the web at lifelinepro.com.
Welcome back to Spirits. It's 8.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. I'm Eben. All right, I have a message from Mrs. Ampechum, who says, Eben, this man, if he dies now, where will he go? Or where will he be? Lord, help us to be students of the Bible. Please, that's why I always say that these pastors and prophets are agents of darkness. Lord, have mercy. You know, some are clear agents. I mean, they are not hiding it. The things they do and profess should clearly point people to the fact that they are not working for God. But, you know, that's the power of deception. Those who are deceived, they will defend them. Sometimes when I look at the comments, no. Emmanuel says, so, brethren, after selling all your belongings because of the rapture, what do you do with the money you are getting out of the sale? They are going to blow time with it. Christians, let's study our Bibles well. You know, that's the reality. You know, it's like you're selling it and then use the money for what? And you are you going to use the money to do evangelism, to win more souls, or you are going to use the money to pay your debts? Or it's kind of funny, this whole mindset. It's as if the Bible is not part of their way of life, so they just have no idea, and it's sad. People keep falling for it. As I'm saying this year, someone has set a date, it will backfire by all means because the word of God overrides what man will say. A few years down the line, should Christ tarry, somebody will do it again and people will fall victim again. So it's as if people are just not ready to learn. They are not learning from history and they are not ready to learn from the word of God. And going forward, they are still not ready to learn from experiences of people. People will experience this, come in social media, come online and come and cry and come and give reasons. This guy, this so-called pastor who sat on the podcast with the twins in East Africa, it was irritating me, so I didn't even bother to check with country. I've just seen the videos in passing, but I've not even wasted time on him. He would, this 23rd will pass, 24th will come, and he will shamelessly go and sit on TV or online, wherever again, and give reasons why it didn't happen. And this is the baffling part of this whole thing about these Bible twisters. They twist the Bible when it doesn't come to pass. They'll justify why it didn't come to pass. And people will still, their followers will still believe. Like Harold Camping, the first one didn't happen. He gave a reason. He gave a second date and people believe that one too. And you ask yourself, so what is wrong with people? How gullible can people be? That's clear deception with red flag, with sirens blaring on it. You are being deceived, though. You are being deceived, though. Alarm, ping, 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 ping. The siren is blaring. This is deception. This is deception. Red flag, red lights, flashing lights, everything. Be warned, be warned, be warned. People say, no. We don't care. We are not being warned. We like what we are hearing. We love it. So allow us. Let us follow. This is what is happening. But I thank God that there are people who listen to this program and Spirit FM who are discerning and understand the word of God and are taking the word of God serious so that we don't fall victim to these things. Ivan says that, Reverend, Christians are too more to be more careful of these false prophets. God have mercy on us all. Good evening. Oh yes, we have to be careful. You know, this week one listener sent me a video of prophets in Ghana saying that we should go back to do the nananom thing. What the nananom? You see, and I was just telling myself, so this person calls himself a prophet, and people are also calling him prophet, and he's justifying idol worship. And you see, this is the sad part of it. This week, he's based in Accra, but this week I saw a big post banner somewhere, billboard in Kumasi, he's being invited to a program here. You see, people are just not interested in the warnings. They don't care. They see clearly that this person, but what you see as deception, they don't see it as that. No. Because the standard they have set is not based on the word of God. So if you use the word of God to scrutinize things and to test the spirits and whatever to determine that this is right, this is not wrong, they don't care about that. All they care about is, prophesy, hey, tell us what we want to hear. And that's all there is. So what they say is a lie or not, they don't care. When they twist the word of God, they don't care. It's all about, just tell us what we want to hear, and we are good to go. Forget about the word of God. Forget about the Holy Spirit. Forget about God. Forget. It's about, just tell me what I want to hear. And this is what the Bible warned about. Paul warned about the itching ears generation. Itching ears. And it's very, very, very sad. 2 Timothy, let me end with this. 4:3. And we are in that season. If you read 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. No, they will not. And that's what we are seeing. People don't care about sound doctrine. No. But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. Tell us the stories. Tell us the stories. Shem, come, tell us. Prophesy. And the things they are telling you is to tickle your ears, make you feel good. At the end, where does it end? The person. Where does the person... You know, it's very sad how you see the word of God playing out right before our eyes. What Jesus said, what Paul said, what Peter said. We are seeing it playing out right before our eyes on the TVs, on online, on radio. We are seeing it. We are hearing it. And it was like one would have expected that because of what the word of God has said about deception and the falsehood, and when that time comes, people will be very alert. And hey, God have mercy on us. So because we are seeing it, and people say, allow us to follow them, don't warn us, allow us, let us, we know what is good for us. Even when you try to caution them, they say, no, don't caution us. Each one for himself. We know what is good. You use the word of God. They say, put the word of God aside. We want a prophet to tell us something. We don't need the word of God. Wow. You don't need the word of God. But so, you see, what type of Christianity are we seeing now? Shallow Christians. Very few Christians are abiding by the word of God, are sticking to the word of God. They are doing their Bible studies, they are reading the Bible themselves, they are listening to the word, they are interested in spiritual things, to grow, to know more. It's very few, very, very few, very few Christians. Because the masses are no longer interested in the truth. No, itching ears. So they want to hear sweet things. They want to hear stories. They want to hear things that will make them feel good. And that is what is happening. The feel-good Christianity. The feel-good Christianity. As I draw this episode to an end, and then the series of the deception and all that, we should be careful, because for the deception is very real. It's happening. We are seeing it. We are hearing it. It's a choice. Anyone who is deceived decided to be deceived. There is nobody who said that I was deceived by mistake. No. You choose to be deceived. So when people at the end of the day find themselves in places they shouldn't be, they cannot blame God, that God, why was I deceived? Why were you deceived? When you said you want to be deceived, what should God do again? So please, if you listen to this program, don't be a victim of those who will be deceived, those who have been deceived, and those who will be deceived. Because as for the deception, we can all be victims of it, but we should allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and let the word of God be our foundation. This is Eben, program Issues of Life. It's been recorded. It will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and to the Telegram group as well. So thank you for tuning in. Good night and God bless you.
Listen up! The tanker truck is going to blow. There's nothing we can do about it. I want everyone in the